This morning, as part of our values series that Neil's been going through and some other people will be going through, we're looking at teaching the authority of God, of the Bible, and we're going to use that as what our teaching is. And I deliberately brought a Bible and read from it this morning because we don't see a proper book anymore because of the age of technology. People have the app on their phone, their tablets, computers and everything else. And it's not a problem. I have had a relationship with this book for a long time. It's the only book I've read more than once from cover to cover. The only other book that I've read from cover to cover more than once is The Purpose-Driven Life. And if you've never read it, it's a book that gives you reassurance. It's a book that gives you a lift. And I recommend you read it through Lent. It's only day 5, it's an easy book to catch up if you want to get one and read through it. So this is the only book I've read from cover to cover. It's a story that gives you hope, and it's a story that gives you despair, depending on what side you belong. If you believe in Jesus Christ, there's hope. If you do not believe in Jesus Christ, there's despair. It's a story where the main character is killed and comes back to life and has a final victory over the enemy. It's a book of history. It's a book for today, and it's a book for the future. It's a book that has one author, but many writers. As I was preparing for this, I'm going through the Bible in 1 year with Nicky Gumbel. And this is what he says about the Bible. And this is a relationship that he has. Thankfully, there have been very few times since our relationship began that I've been apart from my wife. However, before we were married, there was a period of 3 weeks when I was away. In those days, without email or mobile phones, our only way of communication was by letter. I wrote every day, she wrote every day. I remember so well the feeling of intense excitement and joy when I saw the handwriting on the envelope and knew that a letter from my wife was inside. I would quickly take the letter and go off to a quiet place by myself to study it. The actual letter wasn't valuable, but the fact that it was written by the person I love made it so precious to me. The Bible is a love letter from God to you that makes the Bible so exciting. It's not the book itself, but the fact that through it we can encounter the person we love. The whole Bible is about Jesus. The New Testament, obviously, about Jesus. However, Jesus said of the scripture that they are available, the scriptures that were available in his lifetime, that is the Old Testament, these are the very scriptures that testify about Jesus. So the words of God are more precious than gold and much more than gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. Why are the words of God so precious? It's because Jesus said, people do not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. The original explanation of that is that every word that comes out of God is like a fountain just flowing out. It is a stream pouring forth, and like a stream of a fountain, it is never static. God is continually communicating with us. He does so primarily through the life-changing words of the Bible. And I make no apologies that this sermon is riddled with scripture. I have had the same problem that Neil suffers from. The Bible contains so much information about itself that it was hard to know what to leave out. So if there's a favourite verse that I've missed, sorry. So as long as you're sitting, you're not sitting by a window and you're ready to fall out, I've noticed the time, and I will move along because I've got communion as well. But just that you will know. So I've been encouraged ever since I was a Christian to spend some time reading the Bible. It doesn't matter if it's just a verse a day from the Bible, the Bible app or anything, or a passage from the Bible reading notes. The important thing is that you find time to read it. My scripture for today is just one verse from 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproofing, for correction, and for training in righteousness. If you ever find yourself with some free time, go through the 3:16s in the Bible. This is one. You all know of another one, John 3:16. Just, if you've got some free time, go through. You will find some interesting verses. Some aren't so interesting, but a lot are interesting. So, breathed out by God. And I love the fact that the God has breathed out and into his word. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the divisions of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. For the word of God is living and active, breathed out by God. Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of and around from the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. And this is the reason that the Bible is so relevant for us today, because it's living and active. The same breath that God breathed into man to make him alive, he has breathed into the form of words on the pages to make this Bible alive. I think Ricky shared this, and it is relevant today. The Bible is God's voice. It speaks to us today with authority. The words of the gospel are powerful and life-changing. The Apostle Paul wrote, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes." Never give up the proclamation of the gospel. You have the great privilege of being entrusted with the words that have the potential to change people's lives in a radical way for this life and into eternity. We are an evangelical church, and that may be a fancy word, but it just means we believe in the Bible, that we follow its teachings. We believe in the power of God's word and its authority. And we have spoken about the centenary of the Lowestoft revival. I got this quote: "Not only are the leaders in revival men with a deep experience of God and a passion for holiness, but as we should expect, they are men who are obedient to the word of God. All who have been used by God in spiritual revival are diligent in the study of scripture and the application of the scripture to their own lives." We all need the transforming power of God's word in so many ways. Whether you're seeking wisdom in stressful and complex situations, encouragement when you are overwhelmed and downhearted, or guidance on the way forward, you can find help in the pages of the Bible. It is profitable for teaching. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. The first chapter and the second verse, his law is another way of saying the scriptures. But it is right at the beginning of the Psalms. That's how important it is. He meditates on it day and night. And when some of you were younger, you got rewarded by learning the verse of the Bible each week at Sunday school. And then it progressed to learning perhaps Psalm 23 so that you could say it off by heart. And there'll be other chapters that you would have remembered. If you're in boys' brigade, the girls' brigade, you may have done that. You may have remembered it. Most of the things that I know from the Bible that I can say off the top of my head, I learnt through that process of learning it so that on a Friday night when I arrived, or on a Saturday, Sunday afternoon when it was, you could recite it to the Sunday school teacher. Sometimes you got a sweet, other times you got a point, and points made prizes, and you collected them at the end of the term. But they're still there. I still can remember them. And that's amazing. I have trouble learning now. I can't even remember names, but then that's an age thing. So then, someone has said, we need to read over the pages of the Bible like, not like we are raking leaves, but as if we're digging for gold. And just like the prospector, we should rejoice with every nugget we find and cling to it. Open my eyes, Lord, that mine may behold wondrous things out of your law. A prayer that despite our limitations, God is fully able to teach us through his word. Psalm 119 is a great psalm to look at. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. When I was younger, I worked in the print and my hobby was photography. And I won't bore you with great detail, but I was fortunate to use the print house's dark room, and I was able to develop my film and to make pictures. I made mistakes, and when I made mistakes, I went and read about it and see what I did wrong. And it's a bit like that journey with God. We need to keep reading the word, take it in, meditate on it. You will make mistakes, but you will learn an awful lot more. In the Psalms, you will come across this word, Selah. The real meaning of this word isn't known, but I've always been taught it means stop and listen. Read God's word, stop, and spend time to listen to God. Although we will learn things, there will always be questions that you can never answer. Also, there will be people in this world that will oppose you. And it's fine not to know the answers. I came across this and it's one of them things, when a verse leaps out of the Bible at you and you've read it hundreds of times, and then that day it means something because the Spirit is talking. And this verse, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of his law. God has revealed to us as humans that we need to know. And there are things we may not never know. Things that people will ask you questions about, suffering, wars and other things. And Jesus said this, but be concerning that day and hour. No one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. So we're in good company if we don't know. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. Not even Jesus knows. It hasn't been revealed to us. For reproof and for correction. Sometimes you will read something and you won't like it. And some people have torn those pages or scrubbed the text out of their Bible. When I first went to Beccles, there was a lady who sat in the back row and she would never give up her seat. And she left her Bible behind one day, and Roger Prime, the vicar, picked it up. And there was a lot of it missing. She'd torn those pages out. And he went round to see her. She said, "I just don't like anything to do with war, so I've torn all those pages out." So there wasn't much left of Revelation or the Old Testament. But there you go. The authority of the Bible is complete from start to finish. There'll be things in it you will think, whoa. Jonah in the whale, the parting of the Red Seas. You read the Bible, you'll see that we have an amazing God who is able to do anything. The walls of Jericho fell down. The walls of Lowestoft will fall down. People's hearts were closed. God can open people's hearts to receive. The other thing we have to know, that in the Bible, these are God's standards. And these will be a stumbling block to people. We live in an age where the Lord's standards have been eroded away. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. We live in an age where we have so much pull against Christianity. Once upon a time, people would say they are Christians, but our country has changed. People are not coming to church as they used to. Schools are not having Christian assemblies. We have atheists posting on sides of buses with posters saying, "There's probably no God." There are religious sects nearby. The Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses. There's a lot more advertising for the Masons. Every day the pull is great, and we need God's word to keep us on the right path. It is a lamp unto our feet so as not to stumble on the rocky road ahead of us. For all flesh is like grass, in all its glory, like the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And just as Jesus Christ was the same yesterday, today, and forever, so his word continues. This is how the Message puts that verse. Every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. When we are rightly taught by the Scriptures, we are first reproved, that is, our errors are pointed out, and we are stopped in our tracks. Then we are corrected, that is, that we turn around from the harmful way we were going and pointed in the right way. If God shows you through his word something you are doing wrong, it will lay very heavily on you until you do the right thing by God. If it is the norm in society, it may not be the norm in God's eyes. Which moves us into for training in righteousness. Obeying the word of God leads us into a gospel-shaped life. To take up your cross and to follow Jesus is a life that leads us into a process of sanctification, a process of drawing close to God, to become holy because God is holy, the process of becoming Christ-like. This is our training in righteousness. For those who disobey the authority of the Scripture, their days are numbered. And as you journey through the pages, you will soon know what happens to them. And those who don't recognize the authority of God's word and have a closed heart, we need to pray the prayer I read earlier. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. Blind Bartimaeus came to Jesus, and Jesus said, "What do you want?" And he said, "I want to see." And he said, "So be it." And blind Bartimaeus could see. There are people out there who are blinded. Their hearts are closed. The eyes of their hearts are not opened. We need to pray into their lives. Because out of the overflow of our hearts, the mouth speaks. Our training is storing up the word of God in our hearts that leads to righteousness. I'm going to end with this quote from John Piper. We are to be people of the book. We know God through the book. We meet Christ in the book. We see the cross in the book. Our faith and love are kindled by the glorious truths of the book. We have tasted the divine majesty of the word and are persuaded that the book is God's inspired and infallible written revelation. Therefore, what the book teaches matters. Doctrine is important for worship and life and mission. May God grant us the grace until Jesus comes to remain unmoved from this anchor of truth. Amen.